Blog Talk Radio. Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my beautiful brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, April 16th, 2023. Now, I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, but I am always joined by my beautiful family, God's beautiful family of servant leaders, in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Bishop Lester Carver, Evangelist Michelle Scott, hallelujah, Pastor Vanessa Carver, and last but not least this morning, our most esteemed Apostle Zeta Flowers. And I want to say good morning because I see one of my aunts in the house this morning as well. So we just want to say on behalf of all of us, welcome to this morning's service. And we truly pray that you will hear something, hallelujah, that will uplift your spirit and truly bless your soul. Now we are going to go to opening prayer, hallelujah, with Evangelist Michelle Scott. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. If we could just all get into that quiet space in our heads, close our eyes and bow our heads as we just come thanking God for all he is to us. Oh, Lord God, we come to your throne of grace and mercy just thanking and praising you for your holy name and for all that you are to us and for us.
Thank you, Lord God, we thank you for
another day never seen before. Lord, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't praise you enough, Father God. We stand here praising you for what you have done, what you will do, what you plan to do, what you are going to do in our lives, Father God. Lord, we thank you for peace, hope, love, grace, and mercy on today.
Lord, we thank you for
being a God of second chances and forgiving us for the things we have done and the things we even plan to do that we haven't even done yet, Father God.
We just thank you for loving us and raising us up
this morning, for touching us with the finger of love and letting our eyes spring open, hallelujah, to see another day that we've never seen before. Lord, you're so gracious and merciful to all of us.
And we just thank you so much.
We thank you today and we thank you always. Lord God, you are just Alpha and Omega in our lives.
You're the rose of Sharon.
You're our wheel in the middle of a wheel.
You just keep us focused, Father God.
Keep us focused on the prize, which is you, Lord Jesus. We just love you. We magnify you. And we just thank you for shining through us, Father God. Thank you for shining through us so that others could see your light still live on, Father God, and that you are still in the blessing business. Thank you for removing scales from eyes on today, Father God, and for unstopping ears. So that we were able to hear your voice when you called us, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we just thank you.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for all that you are in every servant leader that is here today, Father God.
We thank you for the Apostle Bishop Cook,
Father God, on today.
We ask that you help us
to continue holding her up, Father God. Continue to pour into her, Lord Jesus, so that she can pour into the masses. Oh, Father God, we just thank you. We magnify
you, Lord.
And we praise your most holy name. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Let the church of God say amen. Make some noise up in here for Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Got true love instead of
Thank you for your joy. Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, hallelujah, we are blessed, truly blessed, to have Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell come, and she reads to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'm so blessed to be here this morning, and I thank God for all his blessings. The gospel, the meditational reading is entitled, The Gospel Saves in Every Situation. We'll be looking at Romans 1. Verse 16 in part. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now, each time you hear the gospel of Christ, you are hearing God's good news for you. And the Bible tells us that the gospel of Christ, the good news that God wants all men to hear, is the very power of God for your salvation, not just from hell, but also from illnesses, financial lack, harm, a failing marriage, every aspect of your life that needs saving. Pastor, I've heard the gospel of Christ, but it seems like I am one of those whom the power of God has missed. My friend, when you hear the gospel of Christ, do you really believe it? You cannot just understand it in your mind. You must know and believe the good news in your heart. And then you will see that it is the power of God for your salvation. But what is the good news that God wants you to know in your heart, which will release the power and salvation of God into your situations? For in it, the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You can read that in verse 17 of Romans. The good news is that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, which you receive from faith to faith. That means that this righteousness comes because you have faith in his blood, not your good behavior to make you righteous. It is from faith to faith, not faith to works or works to work. The good news is not preached to show you what is wrong with you. It is preach to show you what is right with you because of Jesus' work at Calvary, in spite of what is wrong with you. The good news is not, the good news, this means that righteousness becomes because you have faith in his blood, not your good behavior to make you righteous. It is from faith to faith. The good news is not preached to show what is wrong with you. It is preached to show Jesus' work in spite of us on Calvary. There is nothing left for you to do to earn God's blessings for your life. You only need to hear and believe the all-encompassing saving power of the gospel of Christ to heal you of disease, preserve you from danger, prosper you for your finances, and bring well-being to your family. The world may say that the good news is too good to be true. But for those of us who are the righteousness of God in Christ, the good news is so good because it is indeed true. Amen. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. The thoughts for the day: hearing and believing the good news will release the power of God into your situation. Amen and glory to God.
you, Jesus. I have been set free. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And hallelujah, this is a most beloved time of our service because this is a time when we come together as a family to go to God's throne of grace, hallelujah, and stand in the gap for our,
yes,
not just ourselves and our families, but we're standing in the gap for you and yours all over this world. Hallelujah. Because we believe here that God will do exactly what he says he will do. Therefore, we pray trusting, believing, and knowing that it shall come to pass. So right now, I want you once again to just empty yourself. Hallelujah. Bow your hearts and prepare to go to God's throne of grace with our anointed apostle, Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Let us go into prayer. Hallelujah. Let us prepare our hearts and minds as we go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we come again before you this morning, praying for our nations. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. Where there's war and conflict and all kinds of things that are going on that are not right with you in this world, we ask, Lord, that you would move, that there will be correctness, that people will be turning away from their evilness, sins,
yes,
and all of these things. We lift up leaders everywhere across the nation, asking, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. We pray your hand of protection over your people everywhere across the nation. Those that are suffering, we lift them up to you. Those that are in pain, all kinds of things being inflicted upon them, we ask, Lord, that you would touch, that you would heal. In the name of Jesus, we come against all the corruptness of leaders everywhere, in every country, across the nation, in our own country, the United States. We lift all of this up to you, Lord, because we know of your greatness. We know that everything is in your hands. So we look to you today because we know that we can trust, put our trust in you and know that you will help. We pray for peace this morning, peace everywhere, peace in our homes, peace in our churches, our schools, our workplaces, and we pray for peace everywhere in the mighty name of Jesus, because we know that you are a God of peace.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank you for your hand of protection upon us, even when we're in situations and places where there's danger all around. We thank you for your hand of protection. We ask, Lord, for your protection everywhere in the name of Jesus. We lift up those, Lord, that are being mistreated, and we lift up those, Lord, that are continuing to be abused in all aspects. We ask, Lord, that you would touch, that you would rescue, that you would save. In the name of Jesus, have your way, God, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
You are their way of escape. So we ask, Lord, that you would move right now in the name of Jesus. We lift up the sick and the shut in this morning everywhere. We ask, Lord, that somehow somebody will instill hope in their lives and help them to know that you are a loving God, that you care about them, and that you are their help. In the name of Jesus, raise up those, Lord, that are sick and feeling helpless today. Even those, Lord, that have put their trust in you in past times, we ask, Lord, that you would allow them to know that you're still the God that they have known in their past times. And we pray for your help. In the name of Jesus, raise them up, Lord, in Jesus' name. Raise them up once again that they can praise your name. We speak healing in the name of Jesus. We speak hope in these hopeless situations. Father God, remember those that are confined,
yes,
still in juvenile halls, jails, and prisons. We pray that your word will reach them and touch them and quicken them, Lord, that they may be saved, that they may be willing to turn from their wickedness in the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm,
to live a righteous,
yes,
life,
Lord,
with you. In the name of Jesus, we know that you can, because we know you do. We know you have in many situations. So we lift them up to you. We lift up the families as well of those, Lord, that are confined. We instill hope. We pray that you will instill hope in them, Lord, to allow them to know that their loved ones can be in your care. Teach them to pray, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To pray for their loved ones, to pray for themselves, to seek your face,
yes,
Lord, and have a desire,
yes,
to be saved. In the name of Jesus. Oh, do it, Lord,
yes,
everywhere. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for those that are in the hospitals. We pray for them. We pray for the staff. We pray that they will take care of those, Lord, that are in their care, in their hands. And most of all, Lord, we pray that you will take them in your hands. In the name of Jesus, bless them today. We speak healing everywhere. In the name of Jesus, touch, Lord, in Jesus' name. We lift up the churches and ministries everywhere to you, Lord, asking, Lord, that you would move into these areas, Lord, and that you would raise up true believers to watch over your people, to teach them your ways, to give them the word of God, the true word.
Yes, Lord.
In the name,
yes,
of Jesus.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
In the name,
yes,
of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Please,
we're trusting,
God,
you, Lord. Yes, because there are so many situations, Lord, so many cases where your people are being led astray. We pray your hand of protection upon them, Lord, in Jesus' name, that they will follow you, God, and not a stranger.
Yes, Lord.
That they won't be lost, but they will have the right to the tree of life.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you would save the unsaved everywhere. In the name of Jesus.
In the
name, thank you,
of
Lord,
Jesus,
for raising us up and allowing us to teach, to evangelize.
Thank
to
you,
go
Lord,
to those,
thank
Lord,
you, thank
that
you
need to know you. We thank you for the strength that you have given so many of us, Lord, that we can continue to do your will in spite of some of the things that we may have to face in this life and some of the things that we go through. We thank mm-hmm. you that you're yet using us for your will and for your glory.
Thank
most
you,
of
Lord.
All.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Now we lift up our families, Lord, and we lift up those, hallelujah, that don't yet know you. We ask, Lord, that you will get their attention. They will be drawn by your spirit in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we also pray for marriages, families. We know that it is your desire that the families be united together and live in peace and harmony. So we pray for that this morning. In the name of Jesus, bring your families together. We pray, Lord, that you will mend relationships that are broken. In the name of Jesus. And then, Lord, we pray for Spirit of Live Ministries this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would move and touch, that you will continue to use this ministry,
Lord,
to reach
us,
out
God.
To many
yes.
in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And
we thank you. We
ministries
thank you,
and churches and outreaches.
We thank you, Lord.
We ask, Lord, that
Hallelujah.
You would continue to remember the homeless today, God. In the name of
yes.
Jesus, touch, Lord. Send, hallelujah, deliver in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for what we see. We thank you that we know that there is hope. Hallelujah. We know, Lord, that you care. You care about us. And you care about those that we love and minister to.
Yes, Lord.
We thank
yes,
you for
Lord.
It.
Yes, you
we
do.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank
and
you,
we
Lord.
Praise your holy name. Thank you,
yes,
Lord,
sir.
For all that you're doing. Hallelujah. Those that are watching, listening in this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would touch and bless whatever the needs might be among us,
yes.
Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Where there's need of breakthroughs, healings, a hand touch from you, God, we ask that you would move
oh,
in these situations in the yes. name of Jesus, that you would lift up the heads of those that are hung down this morning. Lift them up, Lord.
Yes, sir. Please, sir. Touch.
And those that are needing a new start,
yes.
hallelujah, we pray that you would help them.
Lift her
that
up
you would bless
head.
Them. That you would give to them
oh,
what they
wait.
Have need of on this day.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I never win this war. I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you. This is the sound of chains breaking. This is the beat of a heart changing. This is the song of a soul. Freedom in knowing my life is better off in your hands. The past is gone, what's done is done. Now I'm alive and I'm never gonna look back. I can never be free without you. I can never be me without you. My freedom here, my freedom.
It is now time for this morning's message, and I am blessed, highly favored, hallelujah, to introduce to some and present to others. If you've never, this is your first time with us, a true man of God. I am blessed to call him my friend, my co-laborer, and he is also my counsel. So I just praise God, and I want to ask you once again, if you have not done so, to get something to write with and to write on, please retrieve your Bibles. If you are listening via your computers or your smartphones, you can go to BibleGateway.com, and when the bishop gives you the scripture, you can go there and look it up. So right now, my brothers and sisters, give your undivided attention to the man of God, Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Amen.
Man Apostle Cook, thank you for that. And I'll tell you that today is an awesome day. But before we get started, I'm going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's going to go forth. God, Father, I thank you for you impacting someone's heart and someone's mind and drawing them near to you in such a way that they know that you are real to them, and that your desire for them is for them to enter into all of your blessings and restoration and wholeness. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today we're going to be talking about returning your heart to God. And so many of us have been convinced that when people are happy with us, that everything is okay. That when our bank account is full, everything is okay. When we understand everything that's going on around us, everything is okay. And when we are doing our best to do our best, everything is okay. And that is a place of false comfort. That is a place of deception. God is asking us to trust him and only him, not ourselves. God is asking us to use the full unlimited power of the Holy Spirit within us, not our own talents and abilities. God is asking us to rely on him and value him and not money. And God is asking us to seek to please him and him alone and not people. And so that level of freedom, that level of spiritual submission to God, where your every waking desire is to please God, serve God, trust God, and obey God, is what God is looking for. So anything less than that means our heart is not fully turned toward God. And that is not necessarily a surprise. That is not the end. The fact is that we all need to come closer and closer and closer in our relationship with God. And we all, when we are in submission to God, when we're in obedience to God, when we're willingly making ourselves available to God, that is a good thing of us turning away from our flesh and turning toward our spirit and making our soul enriched by seeking the things of God, by fasting, by praying, by fellowshipping with like-minded believers, by studying God's word. We are drawing near to God in such a way that we are, in fact, we are in the act of repentance. And people see repentance as a one-time situation. But really, returning your heart to God is a matter of continually purifying your heart, continually strengthening yourself to focus on the good instead of the bad. See, our human nature is to focus on the bad. We don't have to practice that. That is automatically our default setting, is to focus on the negative, to focus on death, sickness, disease, lack, whatever today's drama is. And what that is always doing, it's intended to draw your attention away from God to the world. And it suggests to you that the devil can win. It suggests to you that the devil has power that he doesn't have. It suggests to those who see that maybe the power within you isn't the power that God says it is. So when we are focused on allowing our heart to be where God wants it to be, then we allow ourselves to be molded, guided, and directed by God in the way that he sees fit. I want to share a verse that Jesus Christ shared with his disciples before he ascended into the heavenlies. And he told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "But ye shall receive power." Absolutely, ye shall receive power. "After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, he said this 2,000 years ago plus. And what we see is that for the past 2,000 years, those of us in the uttermost part of the earth, I know those of us here in the United States would definitely be considered the uttermost part of the earth relative to Jerusalem and Judea. I know when I went to Israel in 2005, it's like a 15-hour flight in an airplane. So this is considered the uttermost part of the earth. And we have received that power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And just like someone shared the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, with us, it's our job to share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, with others. And when we do that, we are truly connecting with the heart of God, because the heart of God is to restore those who are lost. The heart of God is to take those who knew him and drew away, they drew back, and restore them, to pick them up, to let them know that the power of the blood of Christ is able to cleanse them from all sin, and that the devil cannot win when we submit to the promises and the word of God. I want to share with you one of the first sermons that God's people received in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. And this is actually the last part of the sermon in verse 36. And I'm going to be reading down to verse 39. And what it says here in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 39, it says, and this is Peter, Apostle Peter speaking. He says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" Now, what you see here is an open declaration of what has occurred, what has transpired. And he told them clearly, he said, "God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ." And they had to receive that as a fact. And then after they received that, their response was after hearing this, what do we do? See, they were cut to the heart. That reality caused them to act. It caused them to move. And they asked Peter, what shall we do? And they asked the rest of the apostles too. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because they were owning their participation in having overlooked the Messiah in their presence. And they said, hey, you know what? God made Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. And they were their response was, what shall we do? See, when we neglect God, when we neglect the things of God, when we fail to make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our master and Lord in our life, our response should be to repent, to turn away from whatever is causing us to look in another direction, whatever is calling us to walk in another direction, whatever is causing us to stumble into a pile of cash instead of the arms of God. We need to repent, turn away from, just move in the opposite direction so that we can seek the heart of God, and then we can come in harmony with the things of God. Then he says to them, Peter says to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. And now, this is an interesting word here that's used, is remission, though. You know, there are people who have chronic illnesses that stay with them for long periods of time. And there are periods where the illnesses or the symptoms of the illness are in remission. That means the illness is there, but the manifestations of the illness are not there. And so those are periods of freedom from the symptoms of the illness, right? And so now, sin, we know, is a part of our human nature. But the remission of sin is where the sin, the impact of sin, leaves us. It goes away. It is no longer binding us. And see, that's the problem with all sin. All sin takes your attention away from God. All sin makes you unavailable to be in the presence of God, not so much because God left you, but because you left God. See, God loves you. God is everywhere.
Yeah.
And somehow, somebody told you that when you sin, God leaves. God knows that the power of his son's blood was enough to pay for and cover your sins. God is already separating you from you. What's happening is when you're allowing yourself to be distracted and led away from God, what you are doing is you're coming into agreement with the lie that the devil says that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is not sufficient, is not able to restore you, is not able to satisfy you, is not able to make you all that you need to be, that you have to go seek something else. And see, this is the same lie he sold to Adam and Eve. Now think about it. Adam and Eve, they were given dominion over the entire earth, over the entire world. They had the best in the Garden of Eden. They had the best of everything. Everything was brand new, and it was all theirs. And God said, rule, multiply. He said, it's all yours. And it wasn't enough. They were able to be talked out of because, see, the devil is a master at what he does. He is the creator of the lie. He is the father of the lie. He is the master of deception. And if he could convince them that there was more, that God was holding out on them, that they could have something more than the absolute best. And they had absolute dominion, right? If he could convince them, how much easier is it for him to convince us that maybe there's something more available? Because, see, we're not dealing in an absolute, pristine, new, unaffected world. We're dealing in the world that has been impacted by sin for the past 6,000 plus years. That's the world we're we're living in, right? But for the past 2,000 years, we've been living here with the power of the Holy Spirit within us when we make Jesus Christ our Lord and Master. That changes things. Now, the last part of this passage here in Acts 2, in verse 39, it says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." So the promise is to you. The promise is to your children as well. And so what we have to understand is that this isn't all about us, but it is about God, and it is about us, and it is about others as it pertains to fulfilling the command of God. The command of God is that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first part. The second part is we love ourselves, and then we love others. And the process of this is fascinating because love requires forgiveness. Love requires submission. Love requires empathy. We have to realize that, hey, you know what? We don't always get it right, and other people aren't always going to get it right either. And when they don't get it right, we have to be willing to forgive them. And when we don't get it right, we have to be prepared to receive the forgiveness from God. But what the devil does is when we don't get it right, he tells us, see, you couldn't do that anyway. Why don't you just give up and come on over here and finish yourself off? And God wants you to return your heart to God, to him, so that he can circumcise your heart, so that he can restore and recondition. And see, wow, that's what Jesus Christ was doing when he was on the cross. We celebrated this last week or whatever. And that's fascinating because when Jesus Christ took his last breath, he said, "It is finished." He said, before he took his last breath, he said, "It is finished." The work was completed. Now, what's fascinating about that is as a carpenter, in that culture, they had a custom. When they were building a house, you know, Jesus Christ was a carpenter. When they were building a house, the custom was that the house would not be inspected until the carpenter said the house was completed. Well, the deal is that there are people, while their house is under construction, they'll be showing up all the time asking about this and asking about that and asking about this. But the law back then, the custom back then was, until it's finished, it's not ready for inspection. So you got to leave the carpenter alone till it's done. When it was done, he would take the scarf that was around his head that was used to keep him from sweating, keep the sweat out of his eyes while he's building the house, right? He would take that scarf from around his head, and he would fold it neatly at the threshold of the house, and it would indicate that the house was finished and ready for inspection, right? Well, when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," that's what he was doing. He was saying the work has been completed and is ready for inspection. God, it is finished. The price has been paid. And after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, when God raised his son Jesus Christ from the dead, seated him at his right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, then he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our guide. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And so when we are being led by the Spirit, then we are in the process of leading others to our Master and Lord Jesus Christ so that they can make him their Master and Lord. They can submit to him. So God will rejoice over us again for good if we return to him with all of our heart and all of our soul. But first, that requires us to humble ourselves and say, you know what? I'm moving in the wrong direction. I'm moving in the wrong direction. And see, so many people are so prideful, they refuse to be honest with themselves and say, I'm moving in the wrong direction. I got to get it right. I got to get it straight. I got to get honest with myself and God. And see, if you can lie to yourself and lie to God, then you can lie to everybody else, and you're going to be in
Make a plan.
You're going to be in the dark. You're going to be in the cold, and then you're going to wonder why everything is wrong. Everything feels like it's not enough. And what God told his people is, hey, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. And then he told them, choose life, right? But he said, but if you choose death and cursing, then in the daytime, you're going to be afraid and long for the night. And then the nighttime, you're going to be afraid and long for the day, meaning they're never going to have peace. And God desires for us to have peace in all things at all times. And the only way to do that is by pleasing God, serving God, trusting God, and obeying God. And the reason we do that is because we know God loves us and because only God is God. What are the three qualities of God that make God God? God is present everywhere. God is the only entity that is present everywhere. God is all-powerful. God is the only entity that is all-powerful. And God is all-knowing. And God is the only entity that is all-knowing, past, present, and future. So when we understand this, then we want God to rejoice over us again for good when we return to him. But returning to him forces us to be honest and acknowledge that we turn away from him in the first place. And so many of us say, well, this is just how I am. This is just how God made me to be. And see, what people are doing there is they're blaming God. And
come on.
In some ways, they're correct. They're correct because, see, God is sovereign. Look at what it says here in Isaiah 45:7. It says, God says, I form the light and create darkness. God says, I make peace and create evil. God says, I, the Lord, do all these things. And so now, when you understand that God is sovereign, right, then what you have to do is remember that it's not for you to judge God. God does what he does, the way he does it, when he does it, how he does it, because it's his to do. But see, when he gives you the desire to come back to him, to return to him, that desire comes from God. See, God will circumcise our heart. God is the one that is also going to circumcise the heart of our descendants, because see, our descendants, they're going to do what they see us do. If we serve God, it'll make it easier for them to serve God. If they see us turn away from God, it'll make it easier for them to turn away from God. If they see us return to God, it'll make it easier for them to return to God. See? But why God wants you to endure this, why God wants you to experience this, is so that you can understand that what his absence feels like, so that you can really appreciate what his presence feels like. But what the devil tends to do is to talk all of us into condemnation. And that's why God says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's the blood of Christ, once again, that is powerful enough to cleanse us, to remove from us the condemnation that rested upon all mankind before Jesus Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection. See, before that, that was automatically upon all mankind. Now, the challenge is actively receiving that payment for our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, but also receiving that payment for our physical wholeness by his broken body, because he was beat to a pulp for us. And, you know, I watched the Passion of the Christ on last Resurrection Sunday. And I'll tell you, when I saw that, it was probably worse than what we saw in the movie. But to see it in the movie at least gave us a glimpse of how bad it was, right? But think about every image of Jesus Christ you see in a church hanging up on a cross with this nice, neat band of thorns around his head, a little trickle of blood from his brow, and him nailed to the cross. You know it wasn't like that. If we put the real image of Jesus Christ nailed to the cross, as it were, up in our churches, people would think twice about who they were serving. They'd be like, what is this? When have you ever seen a picture like that up in the church? You've never seen that. You've never seen that in any church. But the reason why we need to get that image in our mind is so that when the devil attacks your physical body, you can rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ and say, that price has been paid. I reject that attack on my body in the name of Jesus Christ, and I receive the healing and wholeness and restoration that he paid for with those stripes, with his beatings, in the name of Jesus Christ. And just like we receive that same wholeness in through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, because the blood of Jesus Christ is what removes the condemnation from us. And that's where we allow our heart to really be circumcised, because we come into acknowledgement and agreement for the price that was paid for our sin. And that's important. It's important so that we're not walking around in ignorance, thinking that we're God, that we can do whatever we want and make it whatever we want it to be. It'll be whatever we say it is. No. You read the Word of God, the Word of God tells you what it is, and you'll either submit to that or you will not. And see, God magnified his word above his name. So that means any idea you have has to submit to the authority of the Word of God. If God submitted to his word, you know, you better submit to his word or you're in trouble. but it's a good thing, because God wants to prosper you. God wants to make you abound in all the work of your hand, right? Now, look at what God did with his people. Look here in Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. He says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. Now look at what it says here. And my great army, which I sent upon you. See, God's the one that sent the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm against his people because they were in disobedience. They chose death and cursing, right? So when the curse came and the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm were sent by God upon them as judgment, he said, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. They shall never be disappointed in their expectation. When his people received judgment, there was also restoration. See? And so now, when you turn away from God, you subject yourself to a whole lot of hell. You subject yourself to a whole lot of negative things that God does not want you to be subject to. But that's where you see God's mercy kick in. Because, see, we receive God's grace and God's mercy new every day. God's grace is his unmerited favor, all the good things we get from God that we don't deserve. It's also his enabling power that allows us to have the ability to do anything he asks us to do. And then we receive his mercy. His mercy is the judgment that we don't receive that we do deserve, right? So when you turn away from God to any degree for any reason, instead of you receiving the punishment that you do deserve because of the blood of Christ, you receive his mercy instead, which is the withholding of that judgment. So it's the whooping that you don't get. That's what God's mercy is. But to receive it, you have to acknowledge your sin and you're turning away, and then you have to submit and truly turn away. So it requires you to return to God. It requires you to reset your heart. So have you ever had a problem with your phone or your computer where it just started acting up and it locked up or whatever it did, and you had to do a hard reset? You had to reboot the computer or your phone. You had to turn it off and then turn it back on, right, so that it would function again. That's what it is when you've walked away from God, your heart has turned away from God for whatever reason. And normally, and that the reason I read that verse in Isaiah 45:7 about I the Lord form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I the Lord do all these things. The reason I read that is so that we can understand that a lot of times the things that cause us to turn away from God is we judge God and we say, God, if you didn't create this in the first place, I would have never did this, and I wouldn't have been subject to this, and you shouldn't have made me like this, and da-da-da-da, and we try to blame God. But God is trying to say, look, I need you to see me in a greater way, and I need you to get real so that you can understand that this is real, that the power in you is real, that the calling in you is real, that my assignment in you is real, and my reward that I'm sending my son Jesus Christ back with is real. And I want you to receive that reward, the fullness of that reward. And the place I'm preparing you for is even greater than the blessings I'm sharing with you openly with your earthly existence, right? So we have to get to the point where we take our relationship with God to a higher level intentionally. So now I want to end in a really powerful place that's going to really help you understand why we need to get our heart right in return to God. I want you to go to James chapter 4, and I'm going to go through this as quickly as I can because we don't have a whole lot of time, but we have enough time for this because God needs you to hear where your heart might be so that you can hit the reset and allow him to circumcise your heart. Look at what it says here in James chapter 4 about pride promoting strife.
Take your
says, where do wars and fights come from among you, talking to the people of God? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God, separation? Whosoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, we have to humble ourselves to God in order to receive his grace. But God resists the proud. But the pride rises up because of the lust in our flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes as we covet. But look at what it says here about humility curing worldliness. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he, the devil, will flee from you. See, how many times have you heard about people running from the devil and doing this, doing that? We don't run from the devil. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We submit to God. We resist the devil and watch the devil flee from us. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your heart, you sinners. And purify your heart, you double-minded. See, in order to understand the sinner part, you have to understand the double-minded part. In order to be double-minded, part of you has to be seeking God sometimes, and part of you has to be seeking the flesh other times, right? So your soul is in your soul is being competed for, the attention of your soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotion. Your flesh is pulling for the attention of your mind, will, and emotions. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit within you, is pulling for your mind, will, and emotions. But this says the spirit who dwells in you yearns jealously, right? So when you give in to your flesh, then your spirit is jealous because your spirit yearns for the attention of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. But when you give it over to the flesh, you're taken away from the spirit. And God has given you everything. He's saying, hey, I deserve everything. And you're sharing me. You're doing a part-time relationship with me, and that's not acceptable to me, right? So he says, look, submit to God, resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Do not be double-minded. Do not say, I'm going to please men sometimes and please God sometimes. I'm going to serve money sometimes and serve God sometimes. I'm going to trust God sometimes, and sometimes I'm going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to operate out of my unlimited power of the Holy Spirit sometimes, and sometimes I'm just going to operate out of my own natural strengths, talents, and abilities. God's saying, stop the nonsense. He says, lament and mourn and weep. Your laughter, let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. God wants to lift you up, but you have to humble yourself and stop being prideful. Stop being fake. Stop being unreal, because you know what? The more that you are fake, the more that you are unreal, the more that you are inauthentic, and you do not submit to the Word of God because you don't study it, you don't read it, you don't meditate upon it, you don't believe it, the more you're going to believe it's fake, and you're not going to have any power. You're not going to have anything to call upon. You're not going to be able to enter into the secret place of the Most High because you don't even believe you can speak in tongues.
Come on.
You don't speak in tongues at all because somebody taught you wrong. So now we got to get it right. We got to return our heart to God. And if you want to know, ask somebody that knows. Ask somebody who experiences God's presence every day, who benefits from it. Because, see, if you don't see somebody benefiting from it, they probably don't have it. And our assignment, for those of us who do have it, is to share that with others. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you, do not judge God. Expect God to circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants, your loved ones. Know that God will prosper you. Know that God will make you abound in all of the work of your hand. Know that God will rejoice over you again for good if you return to him with your heart and your soul. So I want to stop with this last verse in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. It says, see, I have set, and this is God talking to his people, the children of Israel, before they entered into the promised land. He says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God. That was God's name to them, the Lord your God. He's a personal God to them. He's a personal God to us. He said, walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. See, and what God gives you to possess, the places of concern, interest, and need that God has ordain you to take dominion in for the kingdom, God is going to bless you as you continue to seek him and return your heart to him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth. I thank you for you having blessed someone today. I thank you for you having freed someone today. I thank you for you having restored someone today. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. Apostle Cook,
amen.
All yours.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
amen,
hallelujah,
amen,
and glory, glory to God. Ha! What a word. Thank you, Lord. I praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We have been fully fed today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
to
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now,
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank
right
you,
now,
Lord.
What we're going to do, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Each and every Sunday, after a word, especially a word like that, a much needed word, a timely word, hallelujah. I'm going to ask in a second, Pastor Vanessa Carver to come forth, because she does a phenomenal job prophetically intercessing for the messages that we receive and everything concerning Spirit Alive. But right now, I'm going to say to those of you that have heard this message, you heard the word. It was the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Now, if you yourself want to experience pure joy, unspeakable joy, if you, hallelujah, want to be free, free from pain, free from depression, free from all negative thoughts, if you really are looking for the answers, I came to tell you this morning, Jesus is all you need. Hallelujah. So if you've been walking out there on your own, you know, return your heart to God. If you, hallelujah, feel so hurt and you just went off by yourself, we're telling you to return your heart to God. Some of you today need to give your heart to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've been doing it by yourself. And it hasn't been working out for you. But I came to tell you, we heard about a man named Jesus. We heard about an entity named Jesus, the Almighty God, the all-seeing, the all-knowing, the ever-present God that loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. He gave of himself so that we might be free, so that we will have a right to the tree of life. So as Pastor Vanessa prays for all of us and this message, we pray that you will truly search yourself. Search yourself. And then take it to the Lord. Because in a moment, I'm also going to give you an opportunity to enter into a relationship with the Most High, with Evangelist Kathy Horton. And I want you to be ready. When she comes, I want you to be ready, ready to receive. So right now, let us hear from Pastor Vanessa Carter.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook. And thank you, Bishop Carver, for that great message. That was an actionable word. Because you can't, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So I thank you, Lord, today for this word. I thank you for the purity of it. I thank you for the unctioning power and impartation that it has, and it does not fall on deaf ears or hard hearts. I thank you, Lord, that our ears be opened, and I thank you, Lord, that those areas in our heart be penetrated to be able to create new places of humility so we can be teachable. There's things that have to be developed in us individually, Lord, as well as collectively. I thank you, Lord, today for the strength that this word delivered to be steadfast, to be focused on the things that belong to you, our purposes collectively, our purposes individually. Thank you, Lord, today for the level of cognitive renewal, that we will be able to think straight and be able to execute your purposes. I thank you, Lord, today that we be not just religious, Lord, but we be actionable. God's saying this is an actionable word. So when we begin to go back over the scriptures that were heard today, specifically the last one, James 4, that, Lord, we have the desire and choosing to read the word, to understand it, to apply it in our heart. Thank you for this applicable word. Thank you for the favor, Father God, that you have given us to be able to hear this, to be able to make a decision, to be able to bask in your presence, even over the airwaves. I thank you, Lord, today for the person and the people that will set their hearts to already agree with the word. But also be prepared to allow you to fight for us when there is resistance. And if there's internal resistance, Father God, we rebuke the spirit of fear. We rebuke the spirit of rebellion. We rebuke the spirit of dull hearing and lazy thinking. I thank you, Father God, today that we have the mind of Christ so that we can understand these things. Lord, break up the fallow ground in our minds as well, and that we will be able to see the multiplication and the fruit of your word today and receive it in a place of peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a prayer. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. All right, Evangelist Horton, come on in, Evangelist Horton, and do what you do. Come on.
Glory to God. Glory to God. He's worthy to be praised. Wonderful word today.
Yeah.
Those of you who have heard this message and you want to be a part of this, it's very simple. It is so simple. The Bible says if you hear with your believe in your heart, just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. Now, if you just repeat after me these simple words and in your heart and believe, you're going to be his child. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of all my sins and all my unrighteousness. Thank you for your son, Jesus, for dying on the cross and shedding his blood for me. Thank you for manifesting your love. Thank you for allowing me to hear this message this day. Thank you for receiving me this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, if you just said that simple prayer and mean it, you're no longer just his creation. You're now his child. Glory to God. You are now his child. Welcome to the family. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Now, Bishop, I know even though you have already brought a rhema word, you are a man that does not overlook anything. So I know that you have a word for the men today. So come on back in, my brother, so you can bless our brothers and sisters with your word, especially for them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Apostle Cook, and thank you for your confidence.
All confidence, brother. All confidence. Never confidence. Never confidence.
Today, the men for the word today is to be obedient problem solvers. And so we're going to take a scripture from the Old Testament and we're going to take a scripture from the New Testament and allow this to be the word from the, for the men so that we can know that we are obedient problem solvers for God. It says in Isaiah 1:19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. God desires for us to be willing, that's humble, and obedient. And that willingness and obedience allows us, qualifies us to eat the good of the land. But now, as it pertains to solving problems, what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8 is, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, what we do, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So God is the one who rewards us with the good things that we do for others. Whether we're bond or free, whether we are an employee or an employer, whether we are a slave or a master, God is the one who sees the good things that we do and rewards us for doing these things when we are willing and obedient in our service to him. I want you to receive this word and then look for God to bless you this way this week, man of God. That's the word for the man.
Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You have heard a rhema word today. And again, we pray that you will apply it to your daily life. We also pray that you will continue to pray for us as we pray for you. And we want you to know that, hallelujah, God loves you so much. And he's always there for you. He's always here for us. He never sleeps nor slumbers. Hallelujah. He's always there. Wherever there is, trust me, he's there. And he's there for you. So we just praise God for each and every person that took out the time to come and be with us in the sanctuary, for those that are listening via your computers and via your phones and through Skype. We just want to praise God for you. And we just pray that God, you allow God to just manifest himself through you so greatly. Hallelujah. That you too will become that vessel that will conduct the light of Jesus everywhere that you go. So Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. My brothers and sisters, you are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Have a beautiful and blessed week from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Thank you, my beautiful family. You were phenomenal. Glory to God. Have a great week, everybody. We love you. God bless you.
Love you guys. Have a great week.
Love you. Great message,
guys.
Bishop Carver.
Love you.
Love you, Angie.
I'll see you down there, Angie.
I love you.
God bless everybody. Have a great week.
You too. Love you.
You too.